This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday the 11th, October 11th, 2014. Appreciate you being with me. This is Invest Talk. We're promoting every day. Every day we talk about above average investing for the average investor, how to achieve that. You don't need to fall into the traps that snag average investors, cause them to make money losing mistakes. You're never going to be right all the time. No one is right all the time. All we can do is at least educate you. All of us understand what drives the market, what drives stock prices, and just be better. Just be better at what. You're never going to be right 100% of the time. It's just not possible. All experts are not. Warren Buffett even makes mistakes. Trust me. Everybody does. But, you know, you want to invest with knowledge. So we're here for any questions you might have. There's no reason to let the hour go by without asking the question that's been bugging you or on your mind. The lines are open. Beginner questions, experienced investors, I don't care. Any questions as long as it's financial. So as we wrap up this week, what can we say about it? In today's premium newsletter, I pointed out that this morning's retail sales report was one of the only a few economic reports out this week that had any interest. Well, it was hardly any reports out this week. And with the holiday season approaching, retailers have been upbeat about prospects this holiday season. Maybe they, too, think the consumer has more money to spend. Of course, producing 200,000 jobs a month for a year is a good reason for the retailers to feel that way. Those jobs are not high-paying, everybody, and a lot of them are part-time. But still, growth in jobs is growth in jobs. It's good. It's just not great. In a recent Wall Street Journal article, it pointed out that we have almost twice as many part-time workers than we've had averaged over the last 10 years. So there's a lot of part-time workers out there. That's not a good situation. And they also speculated whether that was a cyclical problem or a structural problem. Cyclical meaning it will be worked out as jobs growth and the job market tightens and those people get full-time jobs. But if it's a structural problem, that means the system is going to just produce that kind of work. That's going to be very, very difficult for certain workers to survive. So economic dynamics come into play when you're planning your investing strategy, everybody, and you got to think about in the coming months. Are you adding stocks to your portfolio or staying defensive? Are you taking profits? Are you producing cash? Are you investing your cash? If you want to talk about it, give me a call. Now let's go to the phones. Our line is always open. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
I'm from Walnut Creek. I have a question. When selecting a financial advisor, how important is it that they have audited track records, and who is the auditor that performs these audits? And how often do they occur, or should they occur? Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Almost all registered financial advisors are not audited. Every mutual fund is. Isn't that interesting? Why is that the case? Well, a mutual fund has only one account. It's a mutual fund. It only has one account, okay? So the auditing of those returns are pretty simple, and it's required by the SEC. A registered investment advisor, money manager, he has however many number of accounts he has, okay? And everybody could be different. Not everybody has the same goals and not the same holdings. Now, I do it a little bit differently. I have certain programs that everybody in those programs do the exact same thing. But no one gets audited, because even if you had a program where everybody did the exact same thing and you had 200 clients or 500 clients, whatever it is, each individual client would have to be audited. No registered investment advisor would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. mutual fund would, and they have to anyways, but it's a lot easier. It's just one account, one. You know, you own the mutual fund, and it buys and sells stocks inside that one mutual fund. That's it. Whereas a registered investment advisor. So don't ever think you're going to find audited financials or registered investment advisor. You will not. They don't do that. I know some big registered investment advisors, $1 billion size. And they don't get theirs audited. It's rare. Mutual funds do, and you'll see. I've heard advertising kind of misleading a little bit about how, well, our accounts are audited. Well, are your accounts audited, or is just your mutual funds that you're holding audited, not your specific accounts? And so they buy you a mutual fund, and that mutual fund is audited. But the returns of the manager, registered investment advisor, is not. I have not seen one anyways. Maybe they're out there, but I've never seen one. This hour, we're going to talk about why some say that you should invest cautiously, despite all the talk about the mother of all bull runs. Keep a leash on the bull. Be reasonable. You have to think about this. That's one of our talking points. Also, Germany dodges recession in their third quarter. I got to talk about this. I mean, I can't let this go. Germany, and there's a reason why I'm even talking about Germany and Europe and the EU. So is the rest of the EU, are they going to fall in recession or not? We're going to talk about that. Americans cannot afford to live in almost all their major cities. Why? What's the problem there? U.S. oil boom. You know that oil prices have been falling sharply, down about 30-35%. Is our oil boom about the bust? Those are the things I'm going to discuss today, everybody. Unless you call and you want to talk about something first, be happy to do that. What happened to the market today? Well, the Dow was down 18, the Nasdaq was up 9, the S&P up 1. I mean, we're talking about a market that doesn't really have any gusto. You're looking at this week, 5 days. You can argue that the market was up this week, but by a couple, 3 points, 5 points, what? Nothing major. And have you noticed how the volatility has dried up? I mean, we're talking gone. What happened to the volatility? This week, it was hardly any volatility. What happened? Is that telling us something or trying to tell us something? It's hard to know. It's hard to know because we've had a tremendous volatility in October. And here in November, not much. Not much volume either. That's what happened. Well, there was nothing to drive the market today. We have, you know, no earnings really, no economic numbers really. Well, we had retail sales this morning, but that was pretty much came in line. Not very good, not very bad, just okay. Nothing to drive the market. But why then did gold shoot up today? Gold really spiked today. Why? Why did it spike? And I would say probably most of it was due because of being oversold. Being oversold. It's just normal. Something sold off a lot in a short period of time, it will bounce. Okay? 888-99 chart, at new highs, Apple only starting to ripen. What factors tell you it's time to sell a stock now? Is Apple time to sell or time to buy? Have you seen Apple? That's been climbing up. What is it, $114 a share now? After the split, they were a little under $100, right? Right around $100 after their big, huge split, I think. I'm trying to figure. No, it was 90-something. I know that. Just don't remember exactly. And since that split, it was a 7-for-1 split. And what was that date? I'm trying to get that date. Right in the middle of June. Middle of June is, in the low 90s, mid-90s, somewhere in there. And now today it's 114. Why? Is it a good time to sell it then? Or should you be buying it? Do you have questions on how to measure risk? Talk about any of those things. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now.
InvestTalk continues now. For a quick check of Steve's retirement review schedule, just look to investtalk.com. The next date coming up is November 19th in San Ramon. There's a spot left there. It's open. If you'd like to schedule your meeting with Steve, go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on you? What do you want to talk about? Do you know what the biggest bull market has been this year? Where? It's been in India. Have you taken a look at Indian stocks? I think they're up like 37% this year. About 37%. Huge bull market in India. Why? Has their economy done so well? Not necessarily. Some of the factors they've had is, you know, is that the it's political, because Moby, I think is his name. Is that the new Narendra Modi, M-O-D-I, Modi. It's kind of seen as a pro-business prime minister. And the thinking is that he'll finally loosen up some of the restraints on the economy and let foreigners invest and do certain things that wasn't there before. Inflation has fallen. Oil prices have gone down. Industrial production is up. All kinds of good things are happening in India. But does that mean you go into India now after it's been up 37%? Look what happened in our market last year when it was up 22, 25%. I don't remember exactly, but in the 20s, right? Not there this year. This year, I mean, the S&P is up nicely. I mean, you know what, 8, 10% this year? But the Russell 2000 isn't. It's flat, maybe up a little bit now. Pretty much flat. The overall market is not that strong this year for us. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, whenever you have a market that shoots way up in one year, it's not uncommon for it to keep going, but it does slow down, and it's ripe for big corrections. And we haven't had one this year, even though we had a big market rise last year. We had a 10% correction happen in October, and all that was made up in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, that 10% correction was made up in October. Very unusual. So do you go chase the Indians? I'm talking about India in India. Do you go chase that market after such a big? All I'm saying is when you have big bull markets, when everything looks good and everybody's complacent about it and everybody's happy and all they can say is good things about something, that's not the time to go chase that market. That's your biggest risk, is everybody's overconfidence. When everybody feels confident, that means all the investors are in. They've invested everything they have. And now, remember, markets only go up when new money comes in. It keeps pushing it up. Something has to happen to keep pushing it up. And when you're all in and everybody's riding the wave up, you still have to have people pushing from behind you to ride that wave up. And that's always the risk. Now, when do you get off the ride? Boy, that is such a tough question. That is such a tough question. Some people don't even worry about it. Just don't think about it. Wait 10, 20 years and you'll be fine. And those people are correct. If you have that much time, 10, 20 years, then don't worry about it. Listen on top. Let's go. Tune out. You can listen to us on TuneIn Radio app right now. iPhone, Android. Go to investtalk.com.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to have Steve offer his professional opinion about your retirement portfolio, there's a way to make that happen. Just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. With Skype, the telephone, fax, and email, it can happen anywhere you live. Now more Invest Talk. Bring your money question to Steve. One way to diversify your portfolio in an instant is to use ETFs. Do you have questions about exchange-traded funds? Ask Steve about it. He's here for you. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. The world of investing gets more complex every day. We spend every day studying the possibilities. I mean, I do that. And the pitfalls, I do it every day. Taking a look at what's going on out there. If you have a question, we're ready to hear from you. 888-99-CHART. If you're listening to our podcast when we're not live, remember we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you can still get your question to me. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, this is Ray in Fort Worth, Texas. I was going to get your opinion on TD Ameritrade as a long-term investment. I've bought it for a couple of years now, and I just it's getting kind of toppy, and I was just going to get your opinion as a long-term hold. Thank you.
TD Ameritrade Holdings, it provides securities, brokerage services, and technology-based financial services through the Internet and branch networks. Long-term, I think they're in it for the long-term. I think that it's a very good company, will be around for many, many, many years to come. Earnings are growing 13% this year, then another 28% next year. It's going to be $2.06 per share next year. It's a $34 stock, so it's not cheap. It's not. Because it's growing, you know, 10%, 15%, 7%, a quarter after quarter, of course, sales growth, kind of consistently, let's call it 10% all the time. So, of course, it's going to have its ups and downs. I mean, this stock went from $34 on like November 1st down to $29 in the middle of October, and that made it all up by the end of the month back to $34. Today is at $34.84 in 1 month. You know, that, if you think about the percentage of move that is, okay, this percentage of move from 34 down to, what, it was 28.50 or so? So let's call it 29. I'll just do that. So that's 5 points on a $34 base. So that's, what, 15%? Up and down. 30% move, 15% down, 15% back up in 1 month. But that's just volatility. When you're talking about a stock that is in for the long run, which is what you're asked, this is a stock that will be around for the long run. It's a $20 billion company. They will probably be around. They'll have their ups and downs, just like any other stock. But if you're asking me long term, I like TD Ameritrade. I think they're going to have, I think they have the horses to last a long time. Okay? Symbol AMTD, by the way. AMTD. Let's go to Dilip in San Jose. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I had a question on Rackspace Holdings. Symbol is RAX. I just got into it for the trade just before the earnings.
Okay.
And I think it is it's bounced pretty well. So
yeah, it
did. I just wanted to find out, should I keep holding it or unload it? Yeah.
Okay, let's look at it. It looks like it's now broken above all support, so it's looking pretty good as far as a hold for a while. I'm looking at a chart. The next resistance comes in about $53, $54. It's at $43 now. I think it has a really good shot to get there. I really do. If you're looking at the company, it's Rackspace Holding. I like what they do. Offers various types of managed and hosting services to businesses, support websites, web-based IT systems, and computing. So, you know, Rackspace, they're a serving service company. It's servers with miles of servers. The only hesitation you got here is that it is not cheap. It's expensive because it's growing 18, 20% sales, earnings 15% this year, 31% next year. So everybody, it's doing very, very well, and so it's kind of overpriced. But it could stay overpriced. I think you stay with it, Dilip, for a while. I think it has a real shot, as I said, getting up to the at least mid-50s. And that, what I would do is keep a close eye on it, a close stop. It tends to gap up and gap down. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride. But if you get into the mid-50s, low to mid-50s, you're going to have to start thinking about, now what should I do? You know, so let's see if it goes there. I think you have a shot before the end of the year, the beginning of next year, going there. Okay?
Okay, yeah, it's been like going up, slowly going up almost every day.
I know. It's kind of scary, huh? I know. Right. Well, you know, you ride the ride as long as you can ride it. I mean, you don't want to pick the flowers and water your weeds. That means selling your good ones and holding on to your bad ones. You want to sell your bad ones, right, and try to hold on to your good ones. This is a good stock. It's just a bit pricey, so it's going to be volatile for you. Just carry a tight stop. Don't sell it, but have a tight stop on it, you know. It's at 43 now. Okay. If it breaks below 40, I'd get out.
Okay, sounds good.
You know, that's how I do it. Thanks for the call, Dilip. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. Mike, real quick. Oh, gosh. Mike, can you hold on till after the break? Because I don't want to cut you short.
Yes, I can hold.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it. With markets near all-time highs, it's prudent to focus on fundamentals so that you do not chase after equities that are too richly valued. Do you have questions about fundamental analysis? How do you know if something's overvalued or undervalued? We just talked about Rackspace. Is it overvalued? Well, yeah. But do you sell it just because it's overvalued? Not necessarily. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasel. I'm here to answer any of your money questions. You can call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Continue with InvestTalk. You're invited to bring any money question to Steve right now. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Anything of interest that in the financial world? How about this? Mike, I totally forgot about you. I apologize. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike? Mike, you there? Yellow. Did we lose him? Oh, Mike. My fault? Oh, well. Anyways, what happened in Germany? We know the EU, all those 17 countries or whatever they are, looks like they're falling into recession. And Germany's previous quarter, they just came out with quarterly report, the most recent quarter numbers out today. But the previous quarter, they shrunk by 0.1%. They went from growth to shrinkage. So now this quarter, remember the official definition of a recession is two quarters in a row of shrinkage. So we were kind of interested to see what the numbers would be coming out of Germany. They released them today. And just so you know, Germany accounts for about 28% of the total economic output for the Eurozone. 28%, one country. Well, they didn't shrink. They grew 0.1%. So the quarter before that, they shrank 0.1%. This quarter, they grew. They're not in recession. Yay. Okay. 0.1%. That's only, you need to have at least two quarters in a row of GDP shrinkage. And they didn't. France, which is another big economy, not nearly as big as Germany, they actually grew 0.3%. 0.3%. So, is the Eurozone, you certainly can't say everything's fine, because we don't really know how deep the sanctions will be against Russia and what that will do. And you just wonder, what if they didn't have the sanction? What this previous quarter would have been? Would have been better? Probably. But that's what's going on. The biggest countries in the Eurozone look like they're doing, I don't want to say okay, because that's not okay, but they're not falling into recession yet. And they're not doing a lot about it to try to keep themselves out. So think about that. Well, Mike, I'm sorry. Are you there now?
Yes,
I'm sorry. I apologize. What's your question?
I was hoping you can look at a security called INV as in Victor and Nancy.
Yes. Invincense, Inc. Invincense, Inc. Yeah. It's a $1.2 billion company, so it's a small cap company. Manufactures motion processing and related software for consumer electronic devices for the video game industry. They're growing pretty fast. Excuse me. Last quarter, they grew 27% in their sales. Quarter before that was 19. The quarter before that was 7. So sales are picking up. That's always very positive. Earnings in 2014, they're going to be 58 cents, okay? 58 cents. In 2015, it's going to be 45 cents. So it's going down. But we already have 2016 estimates, and it's going to pop back up to 74 cents a share. So every trader is looking at that future and saying, hey, they look pretty good. Meanwhile, the stock has done nothing but fall recently. Nothing but fall. So I would be very cautious with this because the earnings per share in the last few quarters, the earnings per share has fallen. Meanwhile, if they earn 74 cents and the stock is selling for $13.84, that's about a 20 PE. So even based on 2016 earnings, it's still 20 PE. If they can maintain the sales growth, then it's probably worth it. But I would tell you this. I don't think it's cheap, even though it's fallen from $26 down to $13.84. I still don't think it's cheap. I think it's fairly priced right about where it is. So,
is there like a support on the chart that you can see?
Yeah, I'm looking at a chart. And let me go to a longer chart because on a daily chart for the year, okay, it could easily go to $10. Okay, it could also stop falling right about where it is. So if it can't hold here, it's going to go to $10. And I would probably, you got to wait because it's still falling. You got to wait for a couple of weeks for it to settle down and trade sideways and start up before you buy it. Do you own it, Mike? Is that what you have? Do you own
it? No, I'm thinking about buying it.
Okay.
I'm thinking about buying it.
Okay, it's fairly priced now. So wait till it stops going down. If it starts to move back up, you can buy it because its sales growth are picking up. Earnings are not doing great, but they're going to pick up eventually, not next year, but the year after. So,
is the institution buying it at all?
Well, they had a year ago there was 278 mutual funds. Today they have 312. So they are slowly buying. Thanks for the call. Thanks for holding on. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. That is INVN Invensense, Inc. Invensense. Time for Invest Talk 101, how to succeed in any market. Both bear markets and bull markets represent tremendous opportunities to make money, right? We all know that. And the key to success is to use strategies and ideas that can generate profits under a variety of conditions. Sometimes it's very difficult. It's not always easy. Ways to profit in a bear market. Well, a bear market is defined as a drop of 20% or more of the stock market indexes. Has that happened? No. We haven't seen that since 2011. And even then, it was about 19% in the summer of 2011. We just recently had a 10% correction. Not almost quite. I'm talking about the major indexes. So, if the market's going to fall, there are things you can do, even in IRAs. You can buy a short ETF fund, meaning that you can short, let's say, the NASDAQ 100. And you can buy an ETF that goes down just exact same amount as the index, underlying index, goes up, or one that goes, you can do the inverse. Okay? So if you think the market's going to fall, you can buy an ETF that will go up exactly the same amount as the fall. There's also leveraged ones that go up more than that. And that's why in a bear market, you could use these ETFs, or you can even hedge your portfolio if you're worried or if you just don't want to take as much risk, but you don't want to sell your really good stocks you own because you don't want a tax consequence. So maybe you want to hedge off a risk. Well, you can buy a short ETF index. You can protect yourself. There's ways to do that. You can also do the same thing on the other side. There's ETFs that go up with the market. And, you know, just know that there's ways to protect yourself. There are ways. You can do it with options. You can do different things. That's Invest Talk 101, everybody. If you have a question about this topic, you can see more in-depth information on investopedia.com. Or you're welcome to bring it here to Invest Talk with a question. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. We're ready for your call right now.
Here's an idea that your boss might think is a winner. There's a way that your company can save time, effort, and liability, and at the same time, give you better choices and investment management. Tell your boss or HR person about KPP Financial's 401k solution. If you go to investtalk.com now and click on Contact Justin and write in 401k, you'll receive via email a packet of information that you can show your boss. And you just might score some points.
Hello, Steve or Justin. This is Gary from Concord, and I'm curious what you think of the price of Regeneron pharmaceuticals these days, and where do you think an entry point would be? Thank you. Like your show. Bye.
Now, I bet you not too many people have heard of this company, Regeneron Pharmaceutical. It's a $40 billion company. It's not small. It's big. And the reason why it's big is it's a very fast-growing company. It develops drugs to treat eye diseases, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. Why is it $395 a share with a PE of 42? Because the growth rates, that's why. They're between 20 and 40% on sales and 18 to 22 on earnings. Growth year over year. So it's return on equity is 58, which is very good. So the stock has done very well. It was 275 at the beginning of the year, and now here it is at 395 now. It's done very, very well. Now, will it continue to do well? Well, I'll tell you this. Insider buyer bought a couple times this year. You know, so insider, and once or twice, three times now. I see three times this year insiders buying this stock. So they like it. Insiders own, management owns 10%. Mutual funds are slowly buying it as well. So is it a good stock to own? Yes. Is it expensive? Yes. And it has it's going to have a hard time breaking above this $400 level because it's been there a couple times and it's fallen off. It's gone high. It's like, 400. Let's see, what was that? What was that close? It got as high as $407 on October 27th. And then fell down to 367. Now it's back up to 395. It's going to have a hard time at $400. It's really, really going to have a tough time breaking through that because it's kind of expensive. Remember, this is Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, R-E-G-N. R-E-G-N. Good company, good solid company. You want to buy it maybe on a pullback? That might be the best way to try to get in. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. U.S. oil boom. We are producing 9 million barrels now a day. 9 million barrels a day. And that last time we produced that much was in 1983. Okay, 9 million barrels a day. 1983, you had to go all the way back then to equal that. And when do you think this oil boom of ours, when did we start pumping more and more oil out to get this boom? When do you think it started? Well, it started in 2010. That's when we were doing 5 million barrels a day then. And this is all about fracking, people. All about fracking. And that's why gasoline prices are going down. We have lots of oil. You know, I know everybody doesn't like fracking. I know a lot of people complain about fracking, and I'm not sure why. But everybody whines about fracking, and it's really a good thing. It's very good for our society, very good for our economy. Why do you think oil prices are down 30% so far this year? It's all because of supply. It's supply and demand. Supply is outstripped demand. And we have great supply. We are now the third largest producer in the world. Right behind Saudi Arabia. We're going to pass them up pretty soon. And Russia's number one, in case you're interested. OPEC meets later this month, by the way. And OPEC represents about 30 to 40% of all oil production in the world. Are they going to cut production? See, the OPEC, people have this vision that they're really a monopoly kind of entity, and they are kind of, but the problem is they can't control their members because each member wants more money. They need, therefore, pump more oil. The only person that really controls this production that they in OPEC is Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia would like to get, you know, and fracking is expensive. And anything below $80, this is going to make supply start to slow down in our fracking. And maybe Saudi Arabia wants to keep pumping oil to drive some of that supply out, making oil cheap because they can afford it. Make oil cheap for a while, drive out of business some of those fracking entities, close some of those wells up, and then they can raise the price again. Now, of course, they're going to try to do that, I think. But how they do it, I don't know. You know, we'll see. They meet, OPEC meets in end of this month sometime. We'll see how that has. See how that happens. But isn't it nice? Think about this. Think about the freedom it gives us not to be so dependent on Middle Eastern oil. I think that's a good idea. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you think? What do you think of that idea? I kind of like fracking. I know a lot of people don't, and they think it pollutes a lot of air stuff. And, you know, there's been recent studies that it's not nearly as bad as people, the fear mongers, tell you it is. They use mostly water and sand in fracking. There's some chemicals, but they're pretty much typical household chemicals, not like what you think. We've got a good 10 minutes left in the hour. Why not ask the question you've been saving up? There's a line open for you right now, 888-99-CHART. Do you have a question about one of our topics or a call we answered before and you want a clarification? You can call 888-992-4278. On InvestTalk.com, you'll see a big blue box with each day's talking point topic. There's the topic and description. You'll see it right there. And it's after the day's program. You can click on the Play Now button and hear the program played back to you. You can hear the whole program. We save a number of these programs. I think it's like 10 days worth. I'm not sure. And you can listen to them and go back and whenever you want. Or you can download the podcasting. Listen to it whenever you want. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. This is the Friday, November 14th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. The rise of the automated money manager. Can a robo-advisor do what's right for you? That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. There's still plenty of time today, of course. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-992-4278. Let's answer one more question before we're done for the hour. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime you want.
Hi, this is Amos from St. Louis. I listen on podcasts. And my question is, I have a small self-directed brokerage account with only a couple holdings, kind of a rainy day fund. And I'm looking to move into a new position, and with the market seeming to be up all around, I'm just kind of curious, what are some of the key numbers to be watching as I'm looking through? You know, earnings per share, price to earnings, not really dividend yields, but if I'm comparing two companies of the same sector and I'm thinking of placing a limit order to buy as it moves down, maybe what are some of the key financial indicators that I should be looking at to know which company is probably going to be better buy over the other? Thank you.
Well, that's very interesting because we had those kind of numbers in our newsletter that came out today in portfolio management section. Return on equity is important. We'd like to see 17% or higher, but be careful. If they have a lot of debt, the return on equity may not be what you think it is. Be careful if you're in banks. They carry a lot of debt, and then the return on equity might be distorted. But it's important. Earnings yield is very important. Earnings growth, not just earnings, but the growth. So we like what was the GPE, growth to the price-earnings ratio, of earnings. We like to see that at least twice as much, but it's hard to get some of these numbers all to match up. And look at your margins. What are the profit margins? Net margins, are they expanding over the last year or two or shrinking? A lot of this information you can get at Morningstar.com. You can get it at MarketWatch or Yahoo Finance. You get a lot of this information. But those are the kinds of numbers that you have to start looking at. You have to understand those numbers and how they relate and compare them with other companies. And you're correct. You want to always compare them with companies in the sector, okay, in its own sector. You don't compare bank stocks with tech stocks. You don't. It's apples to apples to find out which one's the best in that sector. Good question, though. Sabrina in Santa Clara called, but she didn't want to stay on. You should always stay on. 3D Systems is what you wanted to talk about. We've talked about 3D system. This is the manufacturing, printing, prototyping, manufacturing systems to produce 3D objects from a computer data. And you know, this was the darling of the stock market last year. Everybody called, wanted to get in, and I kept whining that it's too expensive, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, right? Of course. It got up to $100 or so a share. It did last year, moving from low. And I was whining that it's just too expensive, and I wouldn't chase it. Today is at $34. Got up to $100, now it's at $34. Is it cheap enough now? Well, I'll tell you what, it's getting awful close. It's getting close to an area that I think would be a reasonable purchase price. Okay, what do I think that price is? About $30. It's $34. If you look at a longer-term chart, you know, to a weekly, and you can see that, you know, it has lots of support right around $30. That's right near to 200 week moving average. There's a lot of support there, and they're still doing the same thing they did a year ago. They're growing very strongly. They're growing 23% to 40% per quarter sales. Earnings were 85 cents last year, 83 cents this year before per share. This year it's going to be 73 cents, so it's going to go down this year. But next year it's going to go back up to $104 a share. PE right now, if it's $34 a share, based on next year's earnings, that's about a 34 PE. Not cheap, but not too bad considering the sales growth and earnings growth next year. So you want to wait till it settles down and trade sideways for a little bit. Okay, don't try to chase it here. It will settle down. When it starts to go sideways for a few weeks, and this might be right near where it is, you can pick it up as a speculative stock. I do think 3D printing is going to be a wave of the future. Before we close for the hour, a reminder that I'll be in San Ramon on the 19th. That's this coming week. To meet with individual investors, take a look at their portfolios. If you'd like to set up a time for that day to meet with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made
will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.